live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. Man, a tickle in my throat. Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 226. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host. We've got a big show this evening set up for you on this Tuesday night. We've got NFL talks. We've got college football talks going on. We're going to sit there. We're going to talk NFL this past NFL Sunday and Monday. We're going to talk plenty of the Indianapolis Colts situation. We're going to talk a lot. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Steelers. We've got college football, quick hitters around the whole sports world itself, taking calls and more tonight. We've got our picks, so we'll do that all and more. We got my co-host here, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. And I brought a pocket full of hugs, man, for all the Colts people, man, that want to call in and jump off the side of the building, man. It's going to be okay, man. But I was listening to you give it a rundown of the show, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to chop into it. We got to be talking about Colts first, man. So let's just chop in. Let's just get into it.
All right, John. Let's dive right into it. Indianapolis Colts. I said to you last week, and I could find the clip, I said, John, what happens if they lose this game in Jacksonville? Like, they haven't won in 7 years. What happens? And you said, we don't talk about it. It's not going to happen. This Colts team, they're going to get over it. They're going to move forward. John?
Right.
They didn't only get beat. They got dog walked. They got beaten like a drum. They got thrown into prison. I don't know how many more words you want to throw it in there. They got stomped 27-0 by the Jacksonville Jaguars. This team showed no signs of life. Left tackle issues like crazy. The left tackle, it was a turnstile basically there for the Colts. Yeah. And it was ugly. Injuries, yeah, you can say it. You know, Michael Pittman goes out on Saturday, and you didn't really expect that. You still don't have he's going to be Darius until they win a game, and he plays. Darius Leonard didn't play. He just – Alex Pierce, he didn't play. It's just you don't go out and get yourself wide receivers. And you can blame Matt Ryan, you know, but I don't think he's the reason why they lost this game at all. I think it has to do with the sideline. I think this one, you could put it on several players. You put the first one on the kicker. Okay, this one's on the coach. This one's on the GM. This is you reap what you sow. This is the program, the team that you brought in to this year. You didn't address your left tackle. You didn't address your wide receiver corp. This is what you get. This is where you're sitting now. 0-1-1. You're getting ready for future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes and this Chiefs team to come in here this weekend. That's where you're at. Your thoughts, John?
I think there's somebody you forgot to leave out, and as far as that blame is concerned, man. We also Jim Irsay. Yeah, I know here in Indianapolis and local media, Jim Irsay, especially with the media, and especially with the businesses around here. Nobody wants to point the finger. Like, hey, man, they want to point the finger at what happens out on the field, and rightfully so. However, percentage of this, Brandon, did Chris Ballard bring in?
John, you there? You cut out. You just said, did you bring in? That's all we heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. So how many regimes brought in? Who brought in Kerry Collins? That wasn't Chris Ballard. You know what I'm saying? I know I know Andrew Luck. I get it. But, you know, Jim Irsay is the one that wants these retread quarterbacks, man. It's Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay doesn't want to go through a one-in, a two-in, a three-in, whatever, you know what I'm saying, to to find himself back into a draft, potentially, you know what I'm saying, he doesn't want to, he didn't in the last three seasons. He told them, find a Band-Aid, find a Band-Aid. So the Band-Aid was, one Band-Aid was Matt Ryan. But we see how that Band-Aid's working. It's not working very well. The other Band-Aid was my guy from the Chargers. That was a one-year Band-Aid. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, yeah, Phillip Rivers, thank you. But, like, no, man, some of this is on Jim Irsay, because Jim Irsay, Brandon, you will never hear me say tank, the word tank or anything like that. So I do commend him for trying to for the coach trying to find ways to win, you know what I'm saying, the Band-Aid quarterback where you know you need, you know what I'm saying, somebody mobile back there. The game has changed. And I'm not saying Matt Ryan is from a career standpoint, shitty, but the last two games that we saw, and even what we saw last year, if you pay attention to Atlanta, it's not very good football at all. So I kind of blame Jim Irsay just because he doesn't want to make the sacrifice or outbid, you know what I'm saying, another team for one of these, you know what I'm saying, high-priced quarterbacks,
and
right?
They still have a lot of cap space left.
Right, yes, it's weird, though, man, right? It's weird, right? Weird that you don't go out.
When are we going to hear from Chris Ballard?
It's weird.
Are we not going to hear from him?
Who's that?
Ballard. I haven't heard a single word from Ballard.
I haven't. I've heard players comment, and I've heard, obviously, coaches. Even Gus Bradley kind of talk about, you know what I'm saying, somebody, what he thought was the good, you know what I'm saying, from the last two games. But you know what, Brandon? That offense looks slow. And it starts with, I mean, I'm going down. So I say Jim Irsay. I'll get to Frank in a minute. That offense looks slow. It just does. The receivers don't look like they get off the ball quick. And, you know, for whatever reason, Matt Ryan, he made some mistakes that, like, dude, you don't throw that. You don't throw that. Like, he never heard about throwing it away if it wasn't there, right? Even in, you know, if you're playing for pride, like, you don't, you made the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive, they learned everybody's going to the Pro Bowl. If the Pro Bowl started, you know, next Sunday, everybody from Jacksonville, they'd have at least four players on defense going to the Pro Bowl. You know what I mean? But here, Brandon, like I said, this room, what did the defense do? The defense's, you know, stars, or even, you know, the Quiddy Pay. Quiddy Pay had how many sacks the first game? Quiddy Pay wasn't on. He wasn't. We didn't get an interception. Where was DeForest Buckner? Missing in action.
Where's the guy that's been holding out for a new contract in that secondary? Where's Kenny Moore?
Moore, right.
Where's
right,
the Dockway?
Right.
Like, yeah, what's the Dockway done?
Right.
Nothing.
So where was? So it's one thing to lose offensively because, again, you know, she didn't pick, but what did the defense do to set the offense up for success that day? I get it. If Matt Ryan and them still look crappy in the first half, defense, you didn't register anything. No sacks, no interceptions. They had a couple hurries. You know what I mean? You know, you do tip your hat to the Jacksonville Jaguars just a little bit because they did improve. Brandon, you talk about spending money, they spent money. They have, they have a quarterback.
They spent over $1 billion.
Right. They have a quarterback who's ascending. We have a quarterback that's kind of either just plateaued out, and he's on his way out. And that's the stark difference in the quarterback play right there. But, like, nah, man, again, to get back down to brass tacks, but the coach didn't show up on offense and defense and special team. It didn't matter. We'll never know.
You know, I got to ask, I'm sorry, I was reading something else. Frank Wright, he flat out got out-coached by his old protege with Doug Peterson.
They showed them
before the game laughing on the side. That's fine to laugh, but deep down, Doug's like, dude, I already know what the hell you're going to run, and we're coming for that ass. And
right, it looked real predictable.
They didn't hold back. And Frank got exposed once again. No adjustments on the sidelines. He's got a mute face, just like, well, we try to. Apparently, you canceled practice on Friday, which makes no sense. Why you canceled practice going into one of your bigger games? And you said, we have the troops ready. We know what the task is at hand. John, you went to Jacksonville. And like I said, it's not a three-point loss. It wasn't the last thing. You got dog walked. Like, that's the worst type of loss. And
that was bad.
I don't. Yes, you can say, you know what, everything's all right. We're still just a half game or so back from the division, because the whole division sucks right now. The Jacksonville Jaguars are leading the AFC South. There is time to right the ship. There is time. The thing is, looking at this schedule, the schedule is a little bit right now in not their favor. You've got Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs coming to town. Then the following week, you've got a Tennessee Titans team that right now is hot trash as well coming to town. And then you've got the Broncos you're going to, which right now Russell Wilson and them look god-awful themselves. They barely beat Houston. And then you got this Jacksonville team coming back here. And then you play Tennessee again. And then you take on a team that's the Commanders, who are playing well. And by God, John, if you lose this game to the Commanders on October 30th with Carson Wentz coming back in, you know, Jim, you wanted Carson out. That was your thing. I don't want Carson. Frank Wright and this regime was ready to take Carson Wentz to the next season. Jim Irsay said,
I don't
want him out.
I do believe so, right.
Yeah. So if he comes in and you've got maybe one win going to this game or two wins and the Commanders come in and just beat you, you thought selling tickets was hard enough already going into the season off of what happened last year, buddy. It's going to get worse. And but with that being said, and we'll talk Frank in a second, this weekend, I'm going to look ahead. You've got a national televised game. You've got Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wilson. They're all coming here. CBS's national game of the week is the 0-1-1 Colts at home against Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you can't get up for this game and you can't rise to that level, then if you come out flat again at home in your home opener, then, John, that DEFCON comes up a little bit more, DEFCON 1, because that's the worst, is DEFCON 1. It goes from 5 to 1.
Yeah.
Colts are plus 6.5, and the over-under is 49.5. I've already locked in 3 bets for this game, John.
Historically,
I've locked in the over.
Mm-hmm.
I've locked in Colts plus 6.5, and damn it, I took Colts money line because I just feel – this has to be the game you have to get up for your team and your crowd. And this is that type of league this year where the team that looks like shit ends up winning, a la Dallas Cowboys over the Cincinnati Bengals.
That was wild.
I think the Colts win this game. I think the Colts win this game outright. I will say it. I'm taking the Colts. I put money on it already. I think they beat the Chiefs because they realize this has to be it. They may fall into a win off of some turnovers and stuff. I just think this is the wackiness of the NFL. I think the Chiefs or the Colts beat the Chiefs. Crazy as it is.
Yeah, I know you're going with history when Frank Wright led teams where it's seemingly exactly like coming out of a bad loss and they're playing a superior opponent and they somehow, you know what I'm saying, they've done it before. They've done it with Andrew Luck, they did it with Jacoby Brissett at the helm in years past. So I see where I'm going to have to disagree with you as far as like who wins that particular game. I don't know. I don't necessarily know. I don't necessarily believe the Colts have enough offense to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City has a kooky way of playing down to their opponent. And the Colts, honestly, by per the statistics in the short sample size of 2 games that we've had, the Colts are actually pretty good against. Nobody would believe that after watching the Jacksonville game, but they're only allowing 3 yards per carry. It's not even 3; it's like 2.6 yards per carry on the ground. The problem is, Brandon, through the air, they're getting ate up. So I don't know. They can't. They better be having, in order for them to win, they would.
Jonathan Taylor's got to have 220 yards rushing.
Jonathan Taylor's going to have at least 200 some odd yards rushing. You're going to have to sack or get some type of turnover, at least 2 sacks or maybe 1 turnover to beat the Chiefs. And for the majority part of the time, the offense has got to be clicking on all cylinders. I didn't necessarily see that last week, Brandon. I didn't see necessarily I saw some of it, flashes of it, the second half of the Texas game. I saw last year the same old results with a different quarterback, but pretty much the same pieces that I saw last year. It was worse. You know what I mean? So, hawk them up, pull them up by your bootstraps. I mean, I get it. They can't go out there and hit a zip and get a zilch. Brandon, if they go out there and get a zilch, Frank Wright will be fired.
As
I think
should
the Chiefs
be.
Gonna win. Damn. I think the Chiefs are going to win. How the coach can keep it close. I see the 6 points. I don't know why they say six. I don't even think it's going to be that close. But I think the Chiefs win. But, again, I think the coach give them their best effort. Because if they don't, Frank Wright won't – I mean, it won't be no plane ride to take home. He just won't be the coach. He won't be the coach the next day.
Yep. Totally agree. I'm just going to go with history and that their back's against the walls. So this is me calling out the Colts. Show me, show this city, show this state what you got. All right? Can you sack up this year? I'm going to steal a word from your buddy. Sack up. Let's see what you got. Put it all out on the line. You've got nothing to lose, right? You should be playing with a reckless abandon in this game. You should be doing things that you typically wouldn't do in a game like this where you're like, oh, man, every possession counts. Fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three at your 50-yard line or even on your own 47, 46, you got to go for it. You have to show, put your foot down the pedal. You have to show you're the aggressor in this game. You have to keep Patrick Mahomes in this offense off the field if you want a chance. Jonathan Taylor needs to run for 200-some yards or have a combined rushing and receiving. Run the clock. Own the time of possession. Get yourself 35 to 39 minutes of possession time against this team. And some of these players got to shut up and play. In Ndakwe, show up. Buckner, show up.
Right.
Will Darius play? We'll find out. He's still going to be called Darius. Kenny Moore, you bitched about a contract. Well, right now, don't look like you even deserve another contract. Get out there and play. Blackman, show up. I can go on and on with this defense. So all I'm saying is show up, put it all out there, and show out. Let's see what you got. So
Totally agree.
Now,
so they lose,
while I'm all hyped up on this.
Go ahead.
I want to shift gears.
Y'all.
And I want to go on about a 5-minute rant on my Pittsburgh Steelers. Now,
Brandon.
I already told you, John. What?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No. If you got something on it before I go on this rant.
No, go on your rant, man. I have nothing. Go ahead.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, John, I told you before this season started, this is what I expected, 9-8, yada, yada, yada. This is the type of year. It's a transitional year. The way we lost to the Patriots, 17-14. Yeah, it was a close game, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to be close games all year. I'm not fine with it. I'm fine with us at least trying to keep it competitive. But what pisses me off, John, is when the Steelers and my team, they have a chance to win, and they don't execute the way they need to execute. Mitch, they're not passing the ball down the field. Mitch Trubisky has the second worst yards per attempt at 5.1 yards this year. Second worst quarterback in the league at that. The only other one, and he's damn near hurt, is Dak Prescott. I just don't get it because Mitch Trubisky told reporters today that he doesn't have the freedom to audible on every play in Matt Canada's offense. This dumbass coordinator who led us all to believe, media, fans, outsiders, led us all to believe that last year it was Ben Roethlisberger, it was his arm. That's the issues why we were dunking, all these plays, and no offense is getting down the field. This is carried on to 22. It's carried on to this season. It's not the veteran quarterback. It's not Ben. Could Ben probably play another year? Absolutely. It's this dumbass offensive coordinator scheme that's the dink and dunk, 2 yards. It's 3rd and 8. You throw a 2-yard out route. It's the wide receivers having a problem getting open because they can't get space on themselves because we're doing a 2-yard dunk pass. You think you might have a Hall of Fame potential running back, But he can't even run right now into an actual gap in the offensive line. He runs into the hole or into the pile. The whole gap, he didn't even see the right side. Mitch Trubisky, too scared to run down the take a chance down the field because he's going to get criticized by the offensive coordinator. It makes zero sense to me. You got to take chances down the field. You have to put this defense on their back. The fact that we were told, I will come back at this again, that Mitch Trubisky doesn't know what plays he can and cannot audible is unbelievable to me. The fact that we were told Ben Roethlisberger, his old age, and this arm is the reason why we're doing this as an offense and the reason why the offensive can't get down the field. We're right back in this same situation. John, this team does not have an identity. Back in the day, they had an identity. It was, hey, we can win this running and round and pound, and we'll gut it out. It's going to be a dirty-ass game. And they also said, you know what? We can throw it 40, 50, 60 times and win a game that way. This team has zero, zero identity. And the fact that they're still holding it, saying it's Ben Roethlisberger and his arm, when the same damn product has went from 21 to 22, is appalling and a disgrace.
Damn. I can't really follow that up with nothing, man.
He needs to be fired. Matt Canada needs to be fired ASAP. And I'm not the only one thinking it. I listened to nothing but Pittsburgh Steeler Radio today, or Pittsburgh, City of Pittsburgh Sports Radio today, and it's to a T. He's got to go. His responses in his press conference today, oh, well, I'm not going to give that an answer. And, you know, we were led to believe that Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool are just immature wide receivers last year, were we not?
That's what I was told, yeah.
They run what they have to run. You know, and the fact that this guy, Mitch Trubisky, can't audible himself. He's been what, a quarterback in the league, what, 6 years now? Three teams, 6 years?
Right.
And you're not allowing the man to go in and audible? I mean,
do you think it's a situation of level of trust?
No. Because it happened last year with Ben.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got you. Right. They said Ben.
It happened the year before that with Ben. So it has nothing to do with the level of trust. It's this guy's organizational sucks. The fact that we lost our quarterback coach that went out and now is coaching out of Oregon because he left because he can't stand working with Matt Canada. And he knew if he stayed there, he was probably going to be the scapegoat, get fired, so he left to go to Oregon. At some point, Mike Tomlin's got to take responsibility for this and get the man out. And I know the Steelers aren't used to firing coordinators in midseason, and we got rid of Randy Feichter a couple of years ago, and that's when the offense went to shit.
Right.
But the last time, hey, I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl because that's not what this team is. Far from it. But the Baltimore Ravens fired Cam Cameron in 2012. Or whatever.
Wow. They
fired Cam Cameron in December, and they went to the Super Bowl with Jim Caldwell as their offensive coordinator. Just saying.
I've just been realistic. I'm sorry, Brandon. I'll be realistic with you, man. You know, at some point, though, if there was going to be a potential quarterback change, but you want it to be because of poor play, not poor play calling.
Correct.
So we got to know.
I don't agree with booing Mitch. They booed Mitch. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I think that's like carryover. People, you know what I'm saying, he's going to take the hit. He's going to take it on the chin because people are just remember what.
Yeah,
the short,
I also don't think they're all booing him. I think some of the boos were at Canada and that offense.
I don't really have my hair. I know you still carry some of your fandom for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they'll be fine. Your prediction of 9-8 will still be rock solid. You know what I mean? Or something better. I know that division. That division is taking a hit, and as long as you stay on the positive side, as long as you take the positive side of 500, you know what I'm saying, you'll come out on top. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers they'll be down. They'll dogfight. You know what I'm saying, all 17 games. This last,
you got a big
this
one
last
Thursday night.
Your game two wasn't it? Yep.
Thursday night at Cleveland. You know, it's. I sent you that video. I thought it was great with Steelers at halftime, and Big Ben comes out of the tunnel and Stone Cold's music's playing. I thought that was great because obviously he owns the state of Ohio. But even Ben said in his podcast I listened to, you know, you can't blame Mitch, you know, and the fact that he doesn't have the vote of confidence from the offensive coordinator in them. He's not even looking downfield because, you know, he's got to watch his back because of he's not even taking chances. I think you got to take chances this time. You got to do it. If the Steelers lay an egg this Thursday, I expect changes to be made in the extended off time. I do. So.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Sorry, John. I just had it. I've had a thing fired up, and I kind of fired some tweets off today about
it. People listening, Brandon. People know to listen to the show. They know we talk extensive amount of Colts, Cincinnati Steelers, man, and as well as other NFL franchises, man. So long as they're about something.
Isn't,
sorry, Jets fans.
Isn't it crazy?
But like,
you
no,
can't.
Be respectful.
And a quarterback doesn't know. He can't. A quarterback can't sit there and know what plays and what not plays he can audible. Isn't that crazy?
A little crazy. That's a little
that
crazy.
He can't audible
that's
out.
Is he redshirted?
And I don't blame Mitch. I blame the offensive coordinator because today he gave a subpar answer when he was asked that. He's like, well, I mean, that's not all necessarily the truth. But, okay, well, then tell the truth. This is your spot.
Right. Matt Canada has to know that historically the Pittsburgh Steelers want to play good defense. I do believe they still play that, but they want to run the ball first.
Yeah.
So, again, you got Najee Harris for a reason. Everybody knows that's a name that resonates from college football to professional football. Let's unleash it. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, unleash it. You know you have some, you know, I'm not going to say experiments at quarterback, but you know you got some rock-solid guys. You got a 1A, a 1B, and a, you know, particularly a 1C. You can win games. That was a very winnable game against New England. And because they were coming out of week one with struggles. You talk about Joe Judge will never get another head coaching job. Never. Joe Judge leaves the Giants, and they get better when everybody said it was the staff. You remember?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I know. I want to go back over to the Steelers should be fine. Like I said, but you know, it really does matter. To your point, Brad, it really does matter. Schemes, coaching, all those things they do matter. Because Matt Canterbury, but like I said, Matt Canterbury get his act together. Because again, he's got what Coastal want. He's got with receivers and he's got running backs and he's got. I would take the quarterback room with the Steelers over the Colts. It's not like every time, you know what I'm saying, 9 out of 10 times, but I would take that quarterback room over the room we have right now, and I definitely would take the weapons that he's throwing that the Pittsburgh Steelers have out there and wide out and running back. But so again, you got to unleash it. If you don't, if you don't believe in him, then why is he starting? You know. So
yeah,
the Steelers be fine, Brandon. They'll be fine.
John, the Bengals. I said Super Bowl hangover. Bengals are 0-2. Dallas Cowboys without Dak Prescott get the win. Wow.
That was very surprising, man. That was I didn't see that coming. I do forget that Dallas is still a very solid defensive team. Very solid. You can draft offensive line play, but or even bring some guys in from free agency. But if they don't gel and they can't really protect, the first part being in jailing with their quarterback. How significant is it, Brandon, though? So I asked you, the time he missed out at a training camp, talking about Joe Burrow, how significant that is, packed with the fact that, remember, Brandon, we don't have those other – we don't have those glorified practices anymore and two more preseason games. So there's some significance in him missing and also coming off, like I said, that surgery where he had a lacerated spleen or something like that. Something crazy, man. So, Brandon, I think they get back into it, but it's gonna be a little bit of a dig for them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if the Cowboys can just stay afloat until Dak gets back, I think, yeah, like you said, they'll be good. They've got some other players stepping up right now for them. Bengals, you gotta protect the quarterback, and right now it just looks like they are. It just looks like they're in that Super Bowl hangover. So I think they'll right the ship. I think it's just taking a little bit longer than everybody expected it to be.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
John, how about the blow up from the Cleveland Browns giving Joe Flacco and the New York Jets minute 35 down, come back and win. Down 13. Crazy.
Who saw that coming? Nobody. Not me.
I did. I put a bet on that.
Right. This is a crazy second week, man. I'm not getting ready to be like, yeah, this is the joke, you know what I'm saying, Falco, he's resurgent or anything. Brandon, I was shocked. He had like 338 yards passing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was done. He looked like
he still got the long haul. That's why he keeps the job.
It looked like he'd be out there another 2 years, two seasons, man, to be honest with you, man. He's taking advantage of the opportunity while their rookie quarterback is kind of nursing his wounds or whatever. So it's a game that if Cleveland, from a procedural standpoint, if they could play it again, I'm pretty sure what's his name? The head coach. His name is escapes me right now. Is it Kevin Stefanski? I believe. Yeah, Kevin Stefanski. It's a game that from a procedural standpoint, play here, play there, that they would probably go somewhere, you know what I'm saying, go in a different direction. But like, no, man, that was a crazy game, crazy ending.
Let's go to the other crazy one. Baltimore Ravens, Miami Dolphins. Tua, 6 touchdowns, John. Looking at this Miami Dolphins team.
Yeah, I like that, man. I got a lot of people down in Florida, and even one of our illustrious sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, which is based down in Miami, man. It's been a long time. Even though that Dolphins organization has won some games last couple seasons, and showed like a point where they are trending in the right direction as far as wins, they haven't had those kind of stats out of Tua Tagovailoa. I know I messed up his last name, but they haven't had that kind of production out of him. That is what they wanted, like day one, once he left Alabama, to have, what he had, like 446 yards, something crazy, and how many other touchdowns, right? I don't think he threw a pick. I could be wrong about that. I don't think he threw a pick in that game. But, like, no, man, the Miami Dolphins, like their team, everybody joked about that coach that came off, I don't know his name right now, same on me, but he came off the Rams. Coaching staff, and they thought, oh my God, look at this nerdy guy. I'm just telling you what everybody thought, man. Like, this guy, you know, because Brandon, everybody thinks to have a winning football team, you got to have some John Madden looking guy with a turkey leg and drum. You know what I'm saying? You got to have somebody barking at the camera or barking at the players. That's not the case. That's not Sean McVay. That's not this kid down in Miami. This guy that went to Miami, and he's completely, you know what I'm saying, revitalize that city where they do believe they got a chance of winning. Can you believe it? Could you see it, Brandon? The Miami Dolphins hoisting an AFC East banner this year with that kind of production? You say AFC? Well, no, is long. That is a long job because I forget who's in there. Buffalo's in there. But could you see them maybe finish a second? I sure could.
Absolutely. Mike McDaniel, he was offensive coordinator out there in San Francisco with the 49ers. That's where he was at last year. Before that, he was their run game coordinator. And then he was an offensive assistant with the Falcons. But he's kind of rubbed me the right way now, John. I think his press conference is a little quirky. He's a little different. But that's the difference between Frank Wright and Mike McDaniel. He's got his players and organization to buy in. Frank has not. And it's showing. Now, granted, they have a little bit more better wide receivers with Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Gesicki, and them. But, you know, it's showing. The guy's rubbing off on me. I like it. Now, I put a video up on the Facebook Live. Let me get this banner off of there. It's this weekend's game, John. Buffalo is going to Miami. And if you look at the stats, they're both similar stats, but I feel like it's still way, 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 way apart. Tua's got better stats than Josh Allen. The run game, Mostert, got a better run game than Singletary. And Diggs and Tyreek Hill's stats are pretty eerie similar as well, but since the four touchdowns, but the yardage and receptions. I think it's going to be a great game down in Miami this Sunday. It's going to kind of overshadow the Colts-Chiefs game. But, John, that Buffalo team, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to do it.
Health is going to be a big issue for them, Brandon. That's what I would say. Health is going to be a big issue for them. They don't look weak in any facet of the game. I question them going into this season, their special teams, because I know they have some quirkiness going on themselves with their kicker as well. But, but other than that, man, they don't even let it be in the kicker's hands.
Was that crowd not electric last night?
Yeah, they just go out there and take care of business, offensively and defensively. And like I said, they don't necessarily leave it up to special teams. So it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a great game between them and Miami. And potentially whoever comes out victorious, that potentially could from at some point decide the division.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I put out my tier rankings. Tiermaker.com does it. So I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to put my power rankings in there for the year. My top three Super Bowl title contender teams right now are Buffalo, Kansas City, and the Bucks. In the playoffs, I've got the Eagles. Playoff teams, you expect Eagles, who look great just as well with Jalen Hurts. Eagles, Packers, Rams, Chargers, Dolphins. Good but not great, Ravens, Vikings, Cardinals, and 49ers. Average teams, Panthers, Bears, Lions, Jags, Patriots, Saints, Jets, Commanders, Giants, and Raiders. Below average, Colts, Browns, Bengals, Cowboys, Broncos, who have played like crap, Titans, Steelers, and Seahawks, and then just complete trash is the trash teams I have are the Falcons and the Texans. I was told that a bold move not putting the Colts in the trash column, just having them at the below average. But I've got Bills, Chiefs, Chargers, or Bucks at the top.
Yeah, I defend you on not putting the Colts in the trash department, man. They technically both only have one loss, right?
Yes.
The game against Texas is a tie, and that doesn't necessarily count against as far as Brandon's rankings are concerned. I don't have any problems. I don't know about I don't know where you had. I don't know. I don't have the graphic in front of me right now. Again. I don't know where you have a little concern, Brandon, about the Carolina Panthers. You know, I thought this was going to be a Baker Mayfield reassertance, you know what I mean, party. And it hasn't necessarily been that, it, you know what I mean, at all. Him and Matt Rhule might be on different paths again next year. if you catch my drift, Rhule might be unemployed and Baker Mayfield might be playing for another team. Like I said, the biggest surprises for me, when we look at a trash or treasure, treasure, definitely the Buffalo Bills, treasure, definitely a team like I said, teams that process and have the ability, have found the ability to stay winning. Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay, it was like 3-3 with them in New Orleans, and they end up winning the game by 10. Say what now?
I said old Jameis came out in that game.
old Jameis came out from the old Jameis from Tampa Bay came out. So like, no man, and like I said, the Giants. I think they won't go undefeated or anything that resembles like a 7-0 or a 6-0. But you gotta like what they've done thus far. Man, Texas. Texas next year, but they'll be looking at CJ Stroud the damn self. CJ Stroud or who else is probably going to be the top quarterback? Bryce Young, one of those two guys will be, you know what I'm saying, will be their starter quarterback. I got no problem with it. Whoever else I'm concerned with that I'm concerned with, maybe Atlanta. They're not terrible. There's not necessarily overly, like, you can see Atlanta might win.
Yeah, I mean,
four games total.
Somebody
maybe
had to be in the
maybe call. Four games. Right.
So, switching gears to the world of college football, John, I do want to say, first of all, before we dive into what a little bit of a small recap for this past week and looking ahead for our picks, there are 2,538 days until a deadline. And that deadline is going to be for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. 2,538 days until the Crimson Tide drive all the way up or fly all the way up to South Bend, play
wow.
at Notre Dame. And then the following year it's at Notre Dame or at Alabama. I'm just saying, you got enough to get 2,000 some day, 500 some days to get the right players, to get the right support staff, to get whatever the hell you need to get yourself prepared, because I feel like there could be some questions.
Oh, man, and I know our good friends, president of the program, Reggie Sykes and D-Cott, you know what I'm saying, when that day happens, because both of them would be on opposing sides, you know what I'm saying, of Notre Dame and Alabama. Here's what I will say, Brandon. I know you want to put a lot of dirt on Notre Dame right now, even though they beat California this weekend.
Barely.
Next year.
Barely.
Yeah, better. But a win is a win, whether you win by 1 or 71. A win is a win. We know this is going to be a struggle. I'm talking to the South Benders. Our show has never necessarily been friends with South Bend. Everybody
no, not
knows.
At all.
Our show has never been. I went to Catholic school from first grade to eighth grade. I don't think they don't give us no favor for that. Right?
Oh.
No season tickets. But here's the thing, though. Yeah, no season tickets, no media credentials for Crossroads Sports. But here's what I will say. I will go with the facts. Not personal, I'll go with the facts, Brandon. Next year, and I know that's not 2,000, you know what I'm saying, some odd days from now, but next year, they got the top 3 recruiting class in America. All right? When's the last time we've ever said that about Notre Dame? It might have been since the Lou Holtz era. Since somebody's ever said that Notre Dame had a top 5 recruiting class, right? But they got the top. I mean, however you feel about, you know, saying top 3. Go ahead, yeah, look it up. Top 3. I know it's hard to believe, but top 3 recruits in the nation will be at Notre Dame next year. Whatever Notre Dame could potentially retain, you know what I mean, and whatever potentially they could, I don't know, get in the transfer portal. Notre Dame is I can't say they're right there peak to compete. I mean, they're always in the top 4. There's always seemingly always somewhere in the top 4, top 5 teams in the nation. When you talk about competing for a college football championship, this particular class next year, once it gets groomed, once it gets, you know what I'm saying, gets his win underneath them, they might cause a little bit of noise more than just an early exit against, you know, a SEC team not named Alabama or Georgia. How about
2023 and 2024, right now they have both number 1 recruiting classes.
Wow. That's interesting. Now, what they do with it, that's on them once they get those lads in
right.
school. But that's going to be real interesting. Notre Dame has high-level athletic position players. That should be real scary. Hell, Brian Kelly might come back.
I want to say it's a damn shame that here soon, starting in 2024 when Oklahoma leaves, that they are most likely ending the 112-year rivalry of Bedlam. Bedlam is over as of 2024, and it's a damn shame. They need to find a way to make it work
out. You mean to tell me?
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
They're getting rid of the Oklahoma State game?
Yes.
No way.
Oklahoma doesn't want them now. They want to say, well, we're going to spend it on other teams, and since we'll be in the
Brandon,
SEC.
That is a recipe for disaster. Here's what I would tell Oklahoma if they're listening, and I know it's too late now because you already took the SEC's money and you're headed to the SEC, right? Here's the thing, Brandon. Everything just changed up as far as winning a national championship. It is. Oklahoma lost his head coach. Oklahoma lost his star football player. Oklahoma still, in both our football lists, Oklahoma's still in the top 10. I think I got him in my top 5. They're playing that well. All those things, I say that to say this. They have natural rivals with Texas, which that ain't going away. They have natural rivals with Oklahoma State. If you're telling me that's going away, that's going to cause, that's going to send ripples through your program. It is.
Yeah.
There's no way. Look what happened in Nebraska. I don't want to harp on Nebraska, but I am. Look what happened in Nebraska. Yeah, they could have better coaching, right? From Scott, I don't know what happened with Scott Frost this year. He knew he was on the hot seat and he quit. But you know, the Nebraska team, once Nebraska got gutted from the Big 12 and went to the Big 10, they went up there with a lot of powerball. They've had some minor success, nothing like a national championship, not even sniff a national championship. So I would be careful of Oklahoma. They need to figure that out. That's like, you're not playing Kentucky.
I'm telling you, basketball. That when Oklahoma leaves, the 112-year old rivalry is done.
Wow.
It's a shame. And I talked to my old, I have a buddy of mine, an Oklahoma State fan, football and basketball, and he messaged me back, and all he said was, so pathetic.
Wow.
And it's going to hurt more of Oklahoma than it is Oklahoma State. Let's just be real, because State's going to come out great if they don't do this, just because with where they're at with the conference, and it's a bad look for Oklahoma, who's leaving it with them wanting to end it. So it's a good look for Oklahoma State.
The replacement game, Brandon, I'm just speculating here. The replacement game, let's say it's Florida. That might be a good TV product game, but that don't do nothing for, like, year-over-year recruiting. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, they recruit the same players in all sports. That's what makes it so, when this kid went to, you know, go play basketball for Oklahoma and then go play for us, that means they took it on the chin. They wanted to beat them more. Like, that's the part of sports that makes sports. It ain't all about the money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Go ahead.
So 2025 or 2026, they're taking on Oregon. 2027 at Arkansas. 2028, home against Alabama. 2029 at Alabama. This is Oklahoma State. And then 2034 and 2035, home and on the road at Nebraska. So, obviously, I think Oklahoma State is going to add another perennial school in there to take on. I would not be shocked, John, if you want to do the shock and awe, right? Why? Wouldn't it be interesting if they go out and schedule USC? Get Lincoln to come back to Oklahoma for a game, but it's at Oklahoma State?
Right. If you want to get your fan base riled up, and I didn't mean to say that, Lincoln Riley. If you want to get your fan base riled up, schedule a game against the old coach.
Yeah.
And see what kind of, you know what I'm saying, you can get back.
Who wouldn't want to see game? Wiley Gundy part whatever? I'd love it. And the fact it would make Oklahoma look bad as well, because they're like, damn, our rivals are playing our old coach. We hate both of them.
Yeah, right.
So, hey, let's take a call. We got a caller. King of Trolls, Reggie Snipes, Mr. Notre Dame, what's going on?
What's up? I had to call in because Brandon said we want Kelly back at Notre Dame.
I didn't say that.
Get with the recruit club. I know. I heard Jonathan say that. My bad. Let me take that back.
We don't want
him back. And I know Freeman don't want him back. And I heard Freeman was at a recruit's house when Ryan announced he was leaving. You know, I can imagine Freeman at this recruit house. Yeah, we're going to be here, and we're going to take good care of your son. And then he walks out the door, and Kelly announces that he's leaving for LSU. Now, I don't know how much truth to that is, you know.
No, Reggie, I was just joking. They probably got those number one recruiting classes back-to-back because of Freeman. I just joking.
Yeah, he's probably going to recruit He's probably going to recruit Ohio pretty heavy, him being an Ohio State guy. I think he has all the things to be a coach, but there's going to be some learning curves, you know. Marshall, I know people saying Marshall, you know, wasn't good, but, you know, Marshall kind of reminds me of Appalachian State. Both those programs are pretty good, you know. They're beating some good teams, you know. And
a little bit.
So I know that a few South Bend supporters were calling for Freeman's head, but it's the second game. You know, you can't have a quick whip on this one. You gotta let this guy learn. You know, this is his first time head coaching, and I think eventually he's gonna be okay. But I was also thinking about, you were talking about the rivalries and all this. You know, I'm a traditional rivalry guy. You know, I would be highly upset if Southern didn't play Grambling anymore in the Bayou Classic. I would be highly upset if Southern didn't play Jackson State anymore. So I understand rivalries, you know, but things change over time. Like, the worst thing that ever happened to high school basketball instead of Indiana was class basketball. But people said it was going to die and everything. It's still a pretty popular sport here, even though they have class basketball. I don't think it'll ever be like it used to be when they used to fill up the Hoosier Dome and these stadiums, right, and, you know, fill up the Anderson Stadium and, you know, some of these small counties still filling up. I don't know if Newcastle's still filling up. They got a pretty big arena. I know some of these places still, you know, sell out pretty good. But, you know, at that time, that was the worst thing to happen, but people have adapted and overcome. You know, I remember when IU and Purdue used to play twice a year in basketball, and people were mad about them only playing one time. So what I'm saying is rivalries, old rivalries are good. You know, some rivalries, they die out. But that also gives
you a chance to
develop new rivalries. And I hate to say it because I'm an old school guy. But it is about the almighty dollar and not about the rivalry. I understand what you're saying. Oklahoma and them recruits from the same place, just like IU and Purdue recruit from the same places. You know, hey, you go to Purdue basketball, you go to IU basketball, you know, that's a big clash, you know. That's a big problem, you know. So I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, I mean.
Briggs, I got to ask you. Have you been to a Coast game? Well, no, you ain't been. I mean, I know you get long money. You might have been out of town.
I haven't been to a Coach game in 2 years, but I have been to the majority of the tailgates. But I usually go home to watch the game. I tend not to watch the game. They do have some good tailgates. They have some off the chain. That Steelers tailgate can be off the chain.
Let me ask you this. My question is, Reggie, are you losing your mind about Frank Wright?
I was earlier, and then Tennessee lost. And then I said that loss may have saved his job. Ursay doesn't tend to fire during the middle of the season. Somebody's made a scapegoat. You know, the kicker was. You know, I heard JMV say that they may, you know, fire the line coach or something, you know. But Sunday, I was so mad. I was like, Frank, he's been here 4 years. Frank can go. I just think Frank should give up the play calling duties. They don't get a
good call
to play behind.
Yeah, if he's calling the plays, he needs to give them up.
Well, he is.
It ain't,
he's off the board. I think he still have the authority to veto, hey, no, I don't want to do that play, this play, you know, or he can still change it up as the game goes on. But Sunday, I was like, Frank got to go. He got to go. And, you know, D. Cox didn't make it any better with his 15-team-loving self, you know. But you were asking me if I had been to any games, and I go down there and tailgate, and I don't like to really go to sports bars and watch my team play because everybody knows I'm a Colts fan, and everything that happens, they're in my ear and talking, and I can't sit back and enjoy the game. I have to always defend my position, me being the king of trolls. You know I'm going to troll somebody. Did you see that? You see that Bears troll I did today on Facebook? Aaron Rodgers riding on the back of Fields' back. You know, Bears fan mad at me, but they were trolling me. I told them the first rule of trolling, do not troll before your team plays because you're going to get a mouthful from me. You know, that's what I tell them, you know. Don't troll me if you don't want to troll back. I'm
gonna
get.
I gotta ask you a question. You got 2,538 days. Are we prepared for this Alabama coming up to Notre Dame in 2,538 days?
Man, you know how I feel about Alabama, man. You know, when Alabama was losing, I didn't see no Alabama license plates. I didn't hear nobody saying Roll Tide. I didn't hear none of this. You know, people, DeCott is just like a James fan. He left Notre Dame because he was mad because Ty got fired early, and he went to Alabama. So to me, he's a team hopper. You know, I didn't hear nobody saying Roll Tide, Roll Tide. Now all of a sudden, everybody's on this Roll Tide. Just like, you know, everybody, I never did know there was a Kansas City fan. Now they got all these Kansas City fans, you know? People are bandwagon fans. Just like rivalries. They change.
Oh, man.
People change teams the same way.
That's hey, Rick.
I
got something for you. And this could be – let me find it real quick. Let me find it. Give me a second. Where's my sounder? I got my breaking news sounder. Breaking news, John. I'm like glad we're on the call for this. I'm excited for the Indiana Pacers season coming up. John, I'm in with Miles Turner this year. Let's see what you got, Miles.
No, you're not. Yes,
I am.
You're in with Miles Turner.
Listen, it's a contract year. So either put up or shut up. If he wants to play well for us and earn another contract, let's see it. If you don't, then play well for another contract. That way we can use you as trade bait somewhere else. I'm excited for this team. It's a work in progress this year. Let's go out and get the 30-something wins. Let's do our draft next year with 3 first-round picks. Let's see what Miles does with this team. I'm ready for the Pacers season. And, gentlemen, Bally Sports. Now, Red, they're going to force us to pay $19.99 to watch Bally Sports on their app now.
I've already came up with a hack on
but
that.
But let me tell you this. I read today Sinclair and this company that own Bally Sports, they're running out of money, which is probably why they're charging this, that they're most likely going to have to file bankruptcy. And Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL are all three working together to buy them out. And at that rate, it would go back to the streaming services.
I don't have a problem with that. But they, you know, and I blame a little bit on YouTube TV and Hulu TV. I blame a little bit of everybody in the powers in charge. I know it's about the almighty dollars, but the people who are suffering are the customers or us, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. How can you not get an audience for an NBA team? It's like walking, talking money because everything's like broadcasted, like internationally. So I just don't. It's kind of a head scratch to me.
What I went to is Blue TV, and I love Blue TV. I watched a boring fight the other day because, oh boy, Canelo was scared to fight the guy that beat him up. You know, you the one who wants to move up to light heavyweight and he got beat up. So you want to go back and fight an aging Triple G and act like you all fast. But when Mayweather was tagging you in the head, you was all slow. You weren't showing out. You was just, the head was just popping, you know. So Canelo is less than Oscar. I'll tell you that. People mad at Oscar, but Oscar was better than Canelo, you know.
Hey,
so
man,
like
you talking to the wrong guy, Reggie Sykes. I will never badmouth Oscar De La Hoya, except for that time he got caught in wearing them pantyhose. You know what I mean?
About the time he was drunk too, and he said he's an Adonis.
Yeah.
The broadcast.
Other than that, I think Oscar, that Shane Mosley fight, like it could have went other way, and they gave it to Shane Mosley. I had Oscar winning on my scorecard back then. There would be no bad mouth on Oscar De La Hoya on this on my not out of me.
So, but hey, I'm
so
all
the
in
app that I have now, I pay $30 a month. I get every football game, every baseball game, every basketball game, every college football game. I get everything. So
what's it called?
College has lost me. It's called Blue TV.
Damn, you
ain't
even
said
a word to us about it.
Hey, I got it. It got everything. It got everything. We'll talk about it offline. I don't want to bring everybody a word to it online. We'll talk. I'll hook you up with Al, and Al will take good care of you. So, yeah.
That,
but, it's been nice talking to you guys, man. I missed on a hit on a five teamer baseball last night, and I had I had a single game parlay with the Dodgers, man. Had five things going on, and all I needed was for Mookie Betts to get a hit. And usually Mookie Betts gets me a hit, and he didn't give me a hit, man. But I didn't really hit on college football, man. And I'm a little upset I ain't even hit really on NFL football, man. I think I may not bet this week, man. I think I may slow up. I think I'm going to slot a late bet in here on baseball because the Dodgers look like they lost the first game and they messed up my whole parlay. So I think I'm going to slot a baseball bet in here in a little bit. I'll try to post it on Twitter or post it on shut up, man. I'm on a podcast. Okay. You don't get out of my system. My coworkers are coming in here bothering me. I'm going to have to bust them upside the head with the stick, I guess. Get out of here.
All right, Red. All right, you stay employed, Red.
I'm going to do another parlay, and I'll post it on Twitter and just see what you guys think about it.
Sounds good. Hey, I took the Colts plus 6.5 and the money line, just so you know.
Man, you know what? We play up to games we shouldn't play up and down to games we shouldn't.
Exactly.
Think about it. Last year,
Reg,
you know,
the money line is 225, plus 225 right now.
I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to take a look at this.
See you, Reg. Hey, I knew I was going to get him on that 225. It's good money to take. It's good money. John, going to our college football. Actually, I do want to do a quick ad read. We got to get our sponsors in here. Maverick Custom Motorsports, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Wiseman Logistics. Let's go ahead and get those in while we can.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of Peekaboo and Duck Duck Goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check us out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right, John, I want to dive in back to college football. It's a damn, like I said, a damn shame we're getting ready to lose our rivalries. So our top 10 rankings, let me get the banner off of there. That way we can read it. Georgia, you still have Ohio State at second. I've got Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Clemson. You've got Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson. We both have Michigan, and I have Michigan and then Oklahoma, USC. You have Oklahoma, USC, and Michigan. So we're still kind of right there. And then Kentucky,
yeah.
Oklahoma, Tennessee. You have Oklahoma State, Tennessee, and Kentucky. So our top 10 is the same. They're just like one or two places off on teams overall. But
yeah. This
week, we're kind of like the teams that needed to win won this week.
Yeah, I know, Brandon. Like I think I got Michigan. I got Michigan like six or so. Dude, you beat UConn. You know what I mean? You're supposed to beat UConn. They beat them back. You know what I mean? Who is Michigan? Michigan is beating a lot of and faced a lot of cupcakers. And again, you do your due diligence against cupcakers. You do what you're supposed to. And they, like I said, they rolled UConn. But I just think, you know what I'm saying, some of these other teams is a little bit better than Michigan this year. I do. I almost wanted to put from what I saw against Oregon put up in like the last couple of weeks since their loss. Against, since again, they got trounced, right? Week one against Georgia, they bounced back, I like what I've seen. Yes, they play some cupcakes, but they play a little bit better cupcakes than Michigan. So I almost wanted to put Oregon back into it, but that'd have been a big jump going from like barely in the top 25 to in the top 10. I think Oregon gets back in the top 10 because I think they're that good of a program, that good of a team this year. Unless they can just go undefeated the rest of the way in Pac-12 play, they won't necessarily get a chance to get invited to the dance, get invited to the college football championships. But I think they do enough winning between now and, let's say, January, and they'll be back in the top 10 for sure.
Okay. Looking around still, our picks from last week, I don't have them up there, but actually I know
for a fact I had a better week, man. It couldn't get no worse
last
week, but I had a better week.
Yep, you did. Overall, you're 18 and 1. Tanner is 10-16-1, and I am 13-13-1. So I'm right at the 500 mark. Can't get any more than that. So, man, after week three, I'm still sitting at 500 up there. I'll take it. Take what I can. We're going to do our picks now. Tanner is not going to be able to join us this evening, John, but he will give us his picks on Thursday. He's working tonight, so we're going to do our picks. First game on the docket. And I'm not talking Dan Dockage. Ball State at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern 9.5-point favorites. I'm taking Georgia Southern to cover the 9.5.
Oh man, come on, Brandon. You know I'm going Homer. I know they did. That's what got Scott Frost fired, man. I'm going Ball State. Ball State had a tumultuous first 2 weeks. They played Tennessee, got rolled by Tennessee. And in MAC play, they lost by like a point against Central Michigan. They found some connectivity in abusing. That's what they did. They abused Murray State this past weekend. I like them again. I like Ball State playing against schools relatively their size and skill set. Give me Ball State.
Okay. Florida Atlantic at Purdue. Purdue 19.5-point favorites. This is not your Lane Kiffin Florida Atlantic. Give me Purdue to cover.
Yeah, give me Purdue to cover. Purdue
tough week last week. Thank you, Syracuse, for covering.
Brandon, that Purdue. I know we didn't lose our minds about it today. I know we're short on time, dude. They got to figure out how to win those kind of close games. The close games against Penn State. The close games against Syracuse. And if they want to be, I said this before when college football first started. If they want to take the next step, right now Purdue is a major football program. They want to be big time. They got to win these close games. Got to be the Syracuses of the world. When you know what I'm saying, when you can. As far as this week is concerned, Florida Atlantic, you're right. This ain't Lane Kiffin. Florida Atlantic, give me Purdue. I think they roll.
Okay. Number 5, Clemson, 7-point favorites on the road at number 21, Wake Forest. John, your pick.
Ooh, going to be a tough one. Going to be a tough one, but I'm still going to go with Clemson, man. That quarterback, Wake Forest has been putting up a big points. They haven't necessarily played an opponent with the, you know what I'm saying, with the coaching experience that they're going to face against Clemson. They haven't played an opponent this year with the blue chip players that Clemson's going to have. But Wake Forest, they've got some talent. They definitely got talent. Quarterback, that guy is probably going to be a second rounder for sure. Man, Brandon, I like Wake Forest, man. What's the number? Hold on. What's the spread again?
Spread is 7. Clemson by 7.
I'm gonna go the other way. Give me Wake Forest. I think Clemson win, but give me Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest covers.
All right, you got Wake Forest. Nice pick. Nice pick, as Louis Corso would say. I've got Wake Forest covering it myself. They may lose, but they're gonna cover that 7.
Yeah, they got an air raid. They'll come.
I don't trust Clemson on the road. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish at North Carolina. Mack Brown, North Carolina is a 2-point favorite. Give me UNC over this Notre Dame team that's got an identity crisis.
I'm going to have to, because it was a bit, though it was a victory, but it was a bit of a hard fought victory on a team they should have pancaked in California. UNC can't stop a nosebleed, Brandon. They can't. They can't stop a low three. But I think they have a little bit more offensive firepower than Notre Dame. I'm going USC. UNC.
Number our CBS SEC game of the week on CBS at 3:30. Number 20, Florida at number 11, Tennessee. Tennessee is a 10-point favorite. I think they beat Florida by 3 touchdowns.
Man, there's another show that I've been talking smack with. Uh-oh. I'm not going to shout them out yet, but they covered the Volunteers extensively. I did not know the Volunteers were this pissy about losing Purdue in the bowl game. They seem real pissy. Volunteers have leveled up to a point where you say 3 touchdowns over Florida. I think in the bigger picture scheme of things, that the Volunteers are good. They're not good enough to beat Alabama. They're not good enough to beat, I'm talking about today, Georgia. But anybody else can get it in the SEC play. I like Tennessee this weekend, though.
Okay. So you got Tennessee as well.
Yep.
Indiana at Cincinnati. Cincinnati 17-point favorites. Give me Cincinnati to cover this and beat down of IU.
Man, you know, the Hoosiers got some good wideouts. They got some athletes out there, man.
Ain't enough.
not enough, man. Cincinnati, dude. Cincinnati is good enough to look Arkansas. And if that play, a couple weeks ago, and that play, that's a bad call by a referee. It goes one way. Cincinnati is undefeated coming into this game against IU. IU has been living on cloud nine. They needed those 3 wins, Brandon. I don't care if it is Idaho that they beat or Western Kentucky or even Illinois. I know none of those football programs really realistically, like, you know what I'm saying, put the fear in anybody, right? But they're 3-0, man, and they have to feel good. They will not get blown out versus Cincinnati. They also have a little bit personal pride. They lost to Cincinnati last year on a wacky first, you know what I'm saying, last second play or whatever. So I think the Hoosiers go on the road, give Cincinnati their best shot. I think Cincinnati's defense is a little bit better than IU's. IU overall, I think they come up with the stop. They get the victory. Give me Cincinnati.
Okay. Number 10, Arkansas at number 23, Texas A&M. Aggies, 2-point favorites. They had a big win this past weekend over spacing right now.
They won their game, but they had a huge victory, right? Them versus. I know you want to take your pick, but I'm gonna take my pick. I'm gonna go with, man, I really want to go with Arkansas, but I'm gonna have to go with Texas A&M, man, because again, it's gonna be a tough game. Hold on, Brandon. Is it Arkansas or is that Texas A&M?
It's at A&M.
Yeah, give me A&M. That makes sense why it's so close. It would not shock me if Arkansas goes in there and knocks them out, but. Give me Texas A&M in 2.5.
I think A&M gets it as well. I think they beat them by at least 10. A&M, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Wisconsin at number 3, Ohio State. Ohio State, 17-point favorites. They are wearing the all-black uniforms this weekend.
Because it's going to be a funeral. Brandon,
Wisconsin can't score.
You said what now?
Wisconsin can't score.
No, 17. That's because Vegas didn't want to put up 34. Man, Ohio State's blowing them. I know why they put it at 17. Ohio State, this Ohio State regime likes to do mercy killings. They don't like to really run. They're not like the sweater vest. They ain't gonna run the score on you. You know what I mean? They like to. Okay, we got this game under control. I see why they put up 17, but they're gonna blow Wisconsin out the water. But yeah, give me Ohio State.
Okay. I got them as well. I got the Buckeyes minus that 17. Number 22, Texas, 6.5-point favorites at Texas Tech. John, your pick.
I hope Arch Manning is at the game on a recruit visit. Maybe it's some money still left because last time he recruited visit, they spent like, what, $260,000 to impress him to come to Texas or something like that? Nah, man. Texas ain't necessarily back, but Texas will win this game. So give me Texas.
I've got the Longhorns as well. Horns up. So there's our picks for this week. We'll get Tanner's picks in there, and then it'll be obviously uploaded on the Facebook page as well as the Twitter account. John, a couple of quick hitters for you. Las Vegas Aces win the WNBA title. They were the best team all season long. So first sports championship in the history of Las Vegas, the city of Las Vegas, for any sports franchise. Won't be the last.
Becky Hammond was her first,
In the NBA, John, the NBA draft, going back to 18 years old possibly?
Brandon, like, I'm not going to lose my mind about that, but aren't we getting into a – remember how I used to start when I first came onto the show, I said that the NCAA and the NBA and the NFL had under-the-table agreements where they do. You know what I'm saying? They use each other's tape. They use each other as resources for communication. Isn't it like showing up like the more NIL that comes into play and the more, like, you know what I'm saying, NBA changes, like, they ain't buddies no more. The NBA and NCAA are competing for young athletes' talent. So if you're 18 years old, why would I go get me some NIL money and go get me some NBA money? Now, if you take away that 18-year-old, you know what I'm saying, that I got to stay 1 year in school. You see what I'm saying? So I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You know what I mean? Every kid that's an athlete doesn't necessarily want to go to school. So why force them to?
Yes, absolutely. Aaron Judge hits 58 and 59. He's see if he gets number 60 tonight. Obviously, 61 is the big record. People still agree with.
Right.
Do we think he gets it? I do. I think, you can sit there and talk about the 70. You can talk about 73 with Bonds. I think a lot of people still see 61 as the main one, John. Not tainted.
Right.
At least for now.
So, right.
What's your thoughts on that?
Just my thoughts, man. As the season dwindles down, man, it's good for to have guys, players out there chasing for something. Our guy, I mean, not your guy. He's my guy. He'll be my guy, even though he, you know what I'm saying, left his wife sick. You know what I mean? Albert Pujols, he's chasing 700, isn't he? Chasing 700 home runs.
Yeah, he's two away.
I mean? He's like two away. So as the season dwindles down, this also helps with the, you know what I'm saying, with like just passerby eyes just watching, you know what I'm saying, historic moments. Baseball is known for historic moments. That's why it seems always messed up when somebody cheapens it, like, you know, Bonds or Sosa or McGuire. You know what I mean? But like right now, we know we're not living in that tainted era, and everything we're seeing right now, except for maybe Albert Pujols' real age, because nobody he might be my age instead of your age, Brandon. If you catch my drift, you know what I mean. But other than that, man, everything's legit, and you know. My guy with the Yankees, he's probably what would you say? He's probably top four, top three as far as key candidates as far as National League is concerned. So you know these if he gets to 62 or even more, because they say goes out here, man, he has another feather in his cap to say why should not be MVP, even though it's probably gonna be Shohei Ohtani.
I think Pujols is easily gonna get it. I think. If you don't believe that because the Major League Baseball talked about it previously, how they juice the balls, you just believe they're going to be having some juiced baseballs up there for Albert.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about integrity. Oh, my God.
I know, but it's going to be juiced balls, John. I'm sorry. So they're going to be a little – they did it last year, and it would be stupid for him not to get it this year. He's going to get it. So. Last thing I have – by the way, I don't know if I've got it saved on here or not. I meant to mention during our Colts talk, man, Colts Twitter was all about it. I put out the picture of Hot Seat Frank. some of the comments, John, were Hot Seat on fire. Get his ass out of there. Yes, hashtag fire Frank. He should have been gone with Wentz. It's
probably.
Ballard, zero wide receivers, none, no left tackle, average offensive line, can't run Taylor when from playing behind. Reich ain't running routes. Reich ain't throwing the ball. Reich ain't blocking for Ryan or Taylor. Ballard had all the season to make the O better. He did nothing. It's Ballard. Other people have said, start the hashtag. Yes, he's got to go. Frank's got to go. Yes, without hesitation. Yes, SOB has to leave. I hate to admit it. It should be. So it's
Brandon.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because it's everywhere. It's on Twitter. It's on Crossroads Sports, Facebook. It's on my timeline, people. If Rodrigo hits that field goal, we're not having these conversations. Is that why he hasn't been fired yet? Do you? That's what I think. Again, there's a lot of fingers to point on the coaching staff, all that. I don't think Jim Irsay and this coach organization is in a panic mode. If it looks like shit though on Sunday, then he will be fired. That money, it'll be another Blue Monday. But I think that they are cautious because it's like I said, if he hits that field goal, if he hits that field goal, we're not even talking about this. Yeah, well, maybe we are, but we're not talking to this level of Frank gotta go or else. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're going to be cautious, regardless of. I really do. Deep down in my gut, I think it'll be cautious regardless of, you know what I'm saying, what happens this coming Sunday. But if it gets ugly, then we probably will see. And we haven't really seen that in quite some time with a coach organization where they fire somebody mid-season.
Right. Last thing I have, John, Monday Night Raw last night, the cryptic QR code.
I know you're geeked about it. Yeah.
He's coming back, John.
I know he's coming back, Husky Harris.
Oh,
he's coming back.
Hey, how about NXT going back to black and gold, black and yellow? No more 2.0 stuff. I'm excited. We're making more changes. AEW tomorrow night. MJF, will he cash in? I guess now they're using the chip. Is you can cash in the chip anytime. Way to steal an idea, Tony Khan. But Danielson and Moxley for the title at the stadium, whatever you want to call it. And we'll see what happens.
Here's what I say. I missed, shame on me, I missed last week's SmackDown, last Friday's SmackDown, and I missed Monday's Monday Night Raw. But I will say from where I left off in my wrestling viewership between AEW and WWE, though AEW has a lot of press going on between what's going on between the Young Bucks and CM Punk and what's going on between Tony Khan's company and is his locker room chaotic or whatever, WWE has the mojo, you know what I'm saying, working for them. They have all the positive mojo going for them. They got the right storylines. Like you said, they got NXT characters and, you know what I'm saying, wrestlers showing up on and they getting back to, like, what made WWE interesting. Great, good-looking athletes. Male or female, whatever, right? And halfway decent stories that people can, you know what I'm saying, put their imagination into. On the other side, Tony Khan's got, like I said, he's still got some good wrestlers over there. He's got to clean up his locker room, clean up his storyline, and could potentially fire some folks, and then things would be fine with that particular company. No, but Brandon, shame on me, like I said, shame on me for not watching those shows. Brandon, I have fallen in love with a new TV show, as you well know, House of Dragon.
Outside of watching
basketball, you know what I'm saying, football, you know what I'm saying, the games that, you know what I'm saying, we said we were going to watch and study and whatnot, I haven't watched a single iota of anything else except for House of Dragons. So good, Brandon. It made me go back and rewatch.
27 million people.
It made me go back and rewatch the first three seasons of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones is good. You know what I mean? So
I couldn't get into it. I couldn't get into Game of Thrones, so I may have to try again after this is over.
Brandon, you got to do what you – what did you watch? So I know it's a sports show, but we can talk about entertainment too. Go back and start watching it because a lot of things will be like – you'll get pulled back into it because House of Dragons is a prequel. Game of Thrones is – you know, because there's going to be a – spoiler alert, America – Jon Snow's going to get he's already got it. He's got a spinoff coming. But, like, nah, Brandon, I encourage you, go rewatch the first, binge watch it this weekend if you got time. Binge watch the first season, and you'll be like, oh, my God. Remember the feels that you used to get watching The Walking Dead, like, on the edge of your seat? Like, what was going to happen next on the next episode? That's what Game of Thrones is about.
Yeah. Damon, what a character. Damon is the king.
Yeah.
I feel like the king is in worse shape. Spoiler alert, you haven't watched it already, but The King looks like he's in rough shape. Now, I believe, based off the next preview, are they jumping ahead another 20-something years?
There's a time jump.
Because the main girl is not in it now. It's somebody else, a little bit older.
Yeah, she's going to be older. Well, I mean, come
on,
man.
I hate that.
Trying to marry. Brandon, she's trying to marry her uncle. They can't have that same 16-year-old kid.
Listen.
Everybody knows how Game of Thrones gets down. You can't have a 16-year-old kid kissing a 30-year-old man.
Spoiler alert, the dude's, I mean, I know your secret. I know you know my secret. We're good. And
oh, that was wild.
You just got pissed.
Brandon, who started the fight, though? Who do you
think? I feel like the redhead did.
Okay.
The guy. What's his name?
They showed him getting pulverized.
Boom. Oh. So, I don't know. Love the show. Great show.
Yeah.
27 million people watching it. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch Game of Thrones. I'll have to get it in. Hey, John, we are 2 weeks away from 2 weeks.
They got to put that to bed, man. Walking Dead got to put to bed. I love Brandon, I love Walking Dead, but it's got to be put to bed. This is it.
I seen a picture of Rick recently.
Oh, he's real coming. Rick, the actor?
He's coming. Johnny's coming.
That's all I need to hear.
He's coming.
That's all I need to
they
hear.
They had him dolled up. It had him in the gear that you
okay.
saw. So
okay.
He's coming. And I hope you're
he's
ready
coming.
For that
okay.
day because I'm going to blow your phone up as soon as it happens.
I'm ready for it.
Spoiler alert or not.
right, I'm ready for it.
Hey, my last thing I have, college football real quick. I forgot one last thing. I've heard of people getting tarmacked, and the word is tarmacked because you get off the plane, back home, and you get fired on the tarmac. So you get tarmacked. But this may have been the first I've ever seen somebody get fielded. And Herm Edwards got fielded. He got fired before he could walk off the field.
Fired a man on the field.
On the field.
For losing to Eastern Michigan. For losing to Eastern Michigan.
I sent you that text. I go, damn, he got fired on the field.
Yeah, man. To losing to Eastern Michigan, man. So, shout out to Herm Edwards. He's a friend of the he ain't a friend of the show yet, but
he is
will
a friend.
Be, right? I'm working on it, Brandon Reeves. Like, no, man, shout out to Herman Edwards, man. He did a 2 or 3 season. I think it was four. Four season head coaches stand out there in Arizona State. Things didn't pop out, pop out for him. That's what happens when NIL drops on your lap and, everybody wants your quarterbacks or your tackles or whatever. And that's kind of what happened at Arizona State. They had a talent. People stole all their talent. So, man, man. Herman Edwards will be fine. He'll be unemployed all of probably 6 months and be either back on the sideline with some other football team, college or professional, or back with ESPN. I guarantee it.
FYI, I want to dispel the rumors and the rumors out there. There's a picture going around of LeBron James on Instagram saying he shaved his head. Y'all getting played, man. That's a fake thing. That's a fake
Photoshop.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. There's different things on there. So don't worry about it. He's keeping that. He's got that hair coming up. NBA season a couple of days away. Media days come up this Saturday and Sunday. So NBA is back. Other than that, John, I'll let you finish this off, my man.
Cool, man. I'm going to work on your media credentials so you can interview Kevin Pritchard. We can go down there right when press day starts, man. So I'm working on that. But great show, man. Love the energy. King Controls dropped on us, man. Love some of the energy I saw on the broadcast on the Crossroads Facebook page, man. Shout out to Justin Powell. Shout out to Reggie again for chiming in. Shout out to Mike Kelly again, man. How could we do our show without our fans and our sponsors? And we have an abundance of them. Thanks to Maverick Cups Motorsport. Thanks to Wiseman Logistics. Thanks to Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. And like I said, thanks to the fans. We had a great show. We're gonna have another great show next week. Everybody, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.